Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Lord, I want to seek your face.
Jehovah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve ye Jehovah. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Jehovah, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that went beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in which land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Good morning, good morning. Well, glory. It's Well Glory Wednesday, and I thank Pastor Carr for switching days with me this week, and so I'm going to do his Well Glory Wednesday. I thank him for standing in as I am in transition from Massachusetts to Maryland. That's right, I'm here in Maryland. Once again, praise the Lord. And I just want to welcome each and every one of you this morning to Be Restored Ministries, founded by Pastor and First Lady Marlene Carr and supported by that powerful partner of hers, Pastor Kenneth Carr. And it is wonderful to be here this morning. This is Dr. Ventrice joining you again. And I want to give a special welcome to new callers to Be Restored Ministries. We welcome you as part of this ministry from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. Monday through Friday, where we seek to saturate the earth with prayer. We learn, and then we go after the devil with all that we have. And we invite you to come in and join us. Join the power. Become a house of prayer. Hallelujah. Lord, make us all a house of prayer that we can fight the enemy. Fight him with this powerful word. Fight them with prayer. And I want to share with you that we need more power team partners. Our power team partners are vital to our survival as we move forward in this ministry. There'll be more information later at the end, but power team partners help to cover the expenses moving forward and building a To Be Restored home. They finished phase one and plan to begin phase two by this summer. To Be Restored home will be a place where married couples and families can come for retreats to receive rest, ministry, and be encouraged by a loving volunteer staff. We need to bring deliverance to our family and break bondages of generational demonic strongholds and attacks on the family. And sometimes the family just needs to step back and allow the Holy Spirit to just saturate with prayer and work in it. and we're building a to-be-restored home for a place for even you and your family to be able to come and to be able to receive deliverance and breakage of bondage and just to be able to worship and magnify the Lord. Well, as you know, if you've been following along with us, this month we are praying for families. And today I want to talk to you about fighting for families. We are focusing on how to identify Satan this month as the true enemy and how we should be fighting in the spirit. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And we're going to pray, covering our families daily in spiritual warfare, prayer, releasing healing, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and praying for their protection is what we must do each and every day. And I am inviting you to join me today as we pray for families. I'm going to talk a little bit about how to save your family from ruin and destruction, and this comes from Minister David Wilkinson. I'm going to share some of the things and some of the word with you as we go into prayer. The scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In 1 Peter 5 and 8. The Bible tells us very clearly that in these last days, the church faces the wrath of a raving mad devil. Satan knows his time is short, and he's bent on devouring God's people. The word says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down upon you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Revelation 12 and 12. Where does the devil direct his wrath? He's taking aim at families, both saved and unsaved, all over the world. He is destroying families, separating them, divide and conquer. He is roaring like a ravenous lion and pouncing on homes to devour them. He's hell-bent on destroying marriages. Oh, my goodness. Alienating children, pitting family members against each other. And his goal is simple. He wants to bring ruin and destruction to every home he possibly can. Jesus referred to this demonic work when he described Satan. He says he was a murderer from the beginning in John 8:44. Indeed, we see the enemy's destructive plan against the very first family. As I talked about last Tuesday, the first family, Adam and Eve, it was the devil who entered Cain and convinced him to kill his brother Abel. Drama from the very first family, and this murdering spirit is still at work. Think about it. Over the past few years, the 17 children killed in Parkland, Florida, at a shooting in a high school. And this year, there were two suicides already as a result of what happened in Parkland. You see, that murdering spirit, that demonic spirit that destroyed those children several years ago, it continues to come into families with grieving and destruction. And the suicides were children who felt guilty because they survived, and they took their own life because they survived. The devil is alive. This is what he is doing. And what about the 12 killed at Virginia Beach just recently? Just a shooting, just killing them. And that's the same area of Virginia where back in 2007, 32 were killed at Virginia Tech. I remember that because we were looking at school colleges for my daughter. And my husband made a U-turn and said, she's not going over here with these devils. Mm-mm. The devil is coming out to kill, steal, and destroy. This year already, there have been 19 mass shootings just in the United States alone. And don't think that because you hear about it, that it is not going to touch your family. because we have to pray and protect our family and our children each and every day, because you don't know who's going to be next. Even think about what happened in Atlanta in a prayer. They're in there praying, and a gunman comes in and shoots the people of God while they're praying. Who but Satan himself could have driven people to do this? Think of the ruin brought upon the families of both the victims and the killers. Then think about the suicides, the mental breakdowns, divorces, traumatized siblings as a result of this. The destruction of these incidents are just beyond belief, just beyond it. Parents and friends involved in grief for a lifetime. This pain of family members, the heartbreak of grandchildren lead to more awful ruin and destruction as sin sets in generations with drugs and alcohol addiction to numb pain and memories, which have led to anger and to bitterness and more violence. Violence begets violence. Sin begets sin, bringing hopelessness in families as they succumb to the things of the world. They go out to the world and they say, I just don't care. Who but Satan could bring this destruction? Families are breaking up at an accelerated rate. Family courts are being overwhelmed with so many cases as a result of broken families. What do you do with these children when the parents have abandoned, when they can no longer operate as parents? Many of the children being placed in foster homes, unfortunately, spiral into a worse condition. They go from bad to worse, and some of them just end up running away and living on the streets, and you know what they face living on the streets. And how about this? Did you know that there is a new breed of drug addict, and that is kids doing drugs at home with parents? Evidently, 30% of addicts today say they get hooked at home by their parents. The devil is alive. Our Lord, the parents are introducing them to drugs. How could such a thing happen? These parents have been drug users in their teens. Then later, when their children become teenagers, the devil tells them, we did drugs, but we survived, and we're doing fine today. That's what these parents think. So they say, it's better for our kids to do drugs at home rather than on the street, and it's better for them to learn how to handle drugs from us than from their inexperienced friends. So they teach their children how to smoke pot, snort coke, and use needles. That way, they reasoned, they could control their kids' drug use. But the devil is a lie, because payday arrives. Their children get hooked, and their lives spin out of control. Many leaving home and living on the streets, mad at their parents, disillusioned by this horrible counsel, disheartened by society because they have no hope. They have no future. Now the parents are heartbroken and guilt-ridden, crying tears much too late. So I ask you, how could any parent ever make such a foolish choice? They brought ruin on their own family. Who but Satan could have blinded their eyes? The tragedies plaguing families today are beyond belief. And think about what's happening in your family. Look at your extended family, and I can only imagine the tragedies that happen, the things that are, what do they call them, skeletons in the closet, the skeletons in the closet, the secrets that have been kept that are destroying your family. And all over the rest of the world, a raving, mad devil is wreaking absolute havoc, and he won't stop until he devours every family on his path. That's his thing. But amid all this destruction, Satan hasn't overlooked Christian homes. You all might say, that's not happened with me. But we know as believers, our families have been racked by chaos, sorrow, and pain. The demonic devastation has come in so many ways. If they don't get you with drugs, they get you with divorce. They get you with rebellious children. How about sexual perversion and addictions of all kinds? And the result is always saying, once we were happy and everything is fine, and now everything is ripped apart and devoured. That's the enemy. If you were with me last week, Rich shared the destruction of alcohol in his family. His parents were alcoholics, and it was destructive. And it led to his grandparents were alcoholics, which led to his parents being alcoholics. He talked about a mother that he had 7, 8, 9 years old, he and his siblings had to pick her up off of the floor, or his father that would pass out on the grass in front of the house, and the kids at school would make fun at him. And instead of him running away from alcohol, when he became 15, he began to drink, and he became an alcoholic. The destruction continues from generation to generation, but all through prayer, as he began to testify that he went to AA, and somebody that knew God said, get on your knees and pray. If you don't know how, throw your keys down there to make yourself get on your knees. And after a while, he didn't need the keys to get on his knees. He began to pray. And through prayer, hallelujah, through prayer, just a simple prayer, just keep praying, he began to be delivered. He was able to give up alcohol and break that curse from being passed down his daughter. And now he is a mighty and grateful man of God with a healthy, prosperous family, beautiful family, beautiful home, prosperous. God is in his spirit, and now he's bringing other people into his home. He wants to expand his family of God. He brought me into his home. He brought others in his home, expanding and becoming a house of prayer. Amen. And I think about in my extended family, we also have all of that destruction going on. I think of an uncle that I knew as a little girl that's now in his 70s, and he loved drugs his whole life. I know there are periods in his life he can't even tell you what happened because he was high all the time. And now in his 70s, he's sickly, he suffers with all kinds of ailments, and he struggles with poverty. He struggles in so many ways. His wife divorced him years ago, and he has no idea of where he can find his daughter or how to tell us to find him. He's lost so much of his life, he doesn't even know what he's lost. And I can only imagine what it must be like for his daughter to have had a father that she has never known because her daddy chose drugs over her. And even as I think about that young woman, I bind the spirit of rejection right now. As I speak it in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of rejection and break that generational curse, break the curse of drug addiction in the name of Jesus. Yes, we've got to pray for our family. The destruction and violence come in, and then it follows up with sickness. Sickness prevails from generational curses, from disobedience, from lack of praying, for the lack of praying to God. We suffer in a part of my family with cancer. So many died of cancer that Loretta and I began a prayer line to intercede because we understand that our people perish for lack of knowledge. And we begin to pray. And others joined us in the family to pray recently. And then other families, praise to God. Some of you have joined us to pray because we have to pray for families. And even recently, we recognize in our family that prostate cancer is running through the men in our family. So much so to the extent that they had to begin to meet about it and compare the treatments and to be preventive and take preventive measures because of that prostate cancer. But we bind that generational curse in the name of Jesus. And if you have cancer that's going from generation to generation in your family, breast cancer, prostate cancer, whatever it is, I bind that right now in the name of Jesus. I cover you with, cover your family with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I could go on and on about the destruction that the enemy tries to bring in our family and the generational curses. Say to God, we have got to fight for our family and break these curses. We have got to stand because others don't understand, because others don't know how to stand. And I invite you to join me now with Sister Jacqueline as she prays the curse breaker prayer.
Where's your just you and God. And I just want you to begin to open your mouth and cry out to God. God, if you don't do nothing else tonight, heal me, Jesus. Deliver me. I want to be free. I'm tired of being held back. I'm tired of being held up. Deliver me from this pain. 1, 2, 3, open up your mouth. Come on, open up your mouth. I need you to open up your mouth. Come on. Y'all ain't loud enough. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice and cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Come on, open up your mouth. As I pray, open up your mouth and begin to pull on God. Heal me, Jesus. Heal our land, Jesus. Open up your mouth. Come on, come on. Lift up your voice. I need you to lift up your voice and begin to cry out to Jesus. God, we come to you tonight. But we're in need of you. Our nation is in need of you. God, we won't move on. Until we know that healing is taking place, I declare in the name of Jesus that demon and that spirit of identity confusion, I declare now that the angels of God are arresting it now in Jesus' name. Every demonic force that has been released to destroy us, I declare in the name of Jesus that the blood of Jesus is working against it. The blood of Jesus is working against it. Y'all ain't praying. Open up your mouth and pray. Open up your mouth and pray tonight. I declare in the name of Jesus that in the next 3 seconds, the healing power of God is about to shake this place up. Everything that has been hurting you, everything that has been causing you pain, has got to go. It's got to go. You cannot stay. You cannot dwell here tonight. Freedom is in the atmosphere. Healing is in the atmosphere. Cry out. Cry out. God, I need you. God, I need you. Heal us now. Heal us now. We don't want to be this way. We don't want to be this way. Deliver us. Deliver us. Deliver us, Jesus. Lift your hands to this place. Declare right now. Every curse, every stronghold that has you on lockdown, tonight is about to release you. All you got to do is open up your mouth and begin to shout that pain off of you. Open up your mouth and begin to cry out to Jesus. Oh God, I need you. Open up your mouth. I give it to you, Jesus. You can have this pain. You can have it. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be bitter. I declare tonight is the last night that you're going to suffer. Tonight is the last night that spirit is going to torment you. You're being free. You're being healed. You're being healed. To your family lineage. I declare everything that is not of God. Tonight it's got to let you go. Tonight it's got to let you go. I declare in the name of Jesus that the bomb of Gilead is shown up for you. The bomb of Gilead has shown up for you. You won't be filled. You won't be bitter. Always healing you from the pain of your pain. Doesn't matter what happened to you. Always praying you tonight. You've been held down long enough. I'm ready for you to access me to the fullest. I'm ready for you to access me to the fullest. There is something called destiny that is waiting on you. And everything that could hold you back, it's dropping off of you. It's dropping off of you. Open up. can have everything that the devil thought he was going to do. I canceled, I uprooted, I destroyed the assignment of the enemy. You will win, you will win, you will win. Lift your hand. Speak now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Many of you, your child, your spouse, or whoever, your family may not be here. But everything that the devil has pronounced and attached to your family, because you're here, it
will
destroy.
Come on, Adaya. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are breaking those curses. Hallelujah. Those generational curses in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There comes a time when certain life situations are beyond human hope. There is no counsel, no doctor or medicine or anything else that can help. The situation has become impossible, and it requires a miracle, or else it'll end in devastation. At such times, the only hope left is for someone to get to Jesus. Somebody has to get his ear, his attention. It doesn't matter who it is, father, mother, child, aunt, uncle, cousin, friend, stranger, pastor, somebody. That person has to take the responsibility to get hold of Jesus, and that's who we are as interceders. He has to determine, or we have to determine, I'm not leaving until I hear from the Lord. He has to tell me it's done. Now go your way. In the Gospel of John, we find just such a family in crisis. John 4. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum in John 4:46. This was a family of distinction, perhaps even royalty. But a spirit of death hung over the home as the parents nursed their dying son. There may have been other family members in the home, perhaps aunts, uncles, grandparents, other children. And we're told the whole household believed, including the servants. The father believed, and his whole house, in John 4:53. Someone in that troubled family knew who Jesus was and had heard of his miraculous power. And somehow, word came to the household that Jesus was in Cana, about 25 miles away. In desperation, the father took it on himself to get to the Lord. And scripture tells us when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him. If not yourself, I'm sure you have seen in the church many mothers weeping over their devastated families. Maybe the husband has abandoned the family, or a son is in prison, or a daughter prostituting herself to support a drug habit, or so many other things that have gone on, violence and abuse of the mother and the wife. Often the mother is the last hope that the family has to get to Jesus. So she takes on the responsibility to intercede, and she's determined to pray. When you hear First Lady, she is determined to pray until the Lord brings deliverance. And that's where we have to be. She enlists the others to pray with her, saying, it's past the point of hope for us. We need a miracle. And that's where we are today. We are determined to pray for deliverance, and to invite each and every one of you to continue to pray with us. The nobleman in John 4 had that kind of determination, and he got to Jesus. He had to get to them. The Bible says he besought Jesus that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. In John 4:47, what a picture of intercession. This man set aside everything to seek the Lord to provide a word. Yet Christ answered him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. What did Jesus mean by this? He was telling the nobleman that a miraculous deliverance wasn't his most pressing need. Isn't that interesting? That wasn't his most pressing need. A lot of us are in pain and want Jesus to come. But what's the most pressing need? Instead, the number one issue was the man's faith. Faith. Think about it. Christ could have gone into that family's house, laid hands on the dying son, and healed him. And everybody would have been, wow, wow, thank you, Lord. Yet all that family would have known of Jesus is that he worked miracles. But Christ wanted more. He desired more of this man and his family, and he desires more of us and our families. He wants us to believe that he is the God in flesh. So he said to the nobleman, in essence, do you believe it's God you're beseeching for this need? Do you believe I am the Christ, the Savior of the world? The nobleman replied, sir, come down ere my child die. At that point, Jesus must have seen faith in this man. It was as if Jesus said, he believes I'm God in the flesh, because next we read, Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. You see, many believers go their way before they ever hear Jesus, but this man went away in faith. What was the difference? He had received a word from the Lord. He had sought God and waited on him in faith, and he wouldn't leave until he got a promise of life. The man in John 4:50, the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken on him, and he went his way. We can weep for the whole world and yet ignore our family members who are dying in sin because we've lost faith. We have not applied our faith. The church is supposed to be fully occupied with winning souls. We should have souls all over. And I talked about winning souls in the previous message. Many Christians are faithful to this. We pray for lost nations, for revival in our city, for our Christian neighbors. And I thank God that you're doing this vital work. Yet, let me ask, who is praying faithfully for your unsaved family members, unsaved fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, grandparents? Who is praying faithfully for them? Prayer for our loved ones ought to be of the utmost importance in our lives. Family is your first ministry. After all, the responsibility for such prayer rests with those who have the Lord's ear, who are close enough to make these requests. God hears only the sinner's prayer, the sinner, but he hears our quest. Now, isn't that you? If it isn't you, then who is it? Who will fervently pray for your family salvation if you don't? The song, and I'll try to play at the end, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind and took the time to pray for me. Who will pray? Maybe you say to yourself, I've witnessed to my family for years. I faithfully live out my testimony before them. They know what I stand for. I just have to entrust them to Jesus now. It's true, we do need to entrust our unsaved ones to the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. But trusting the Spirit doesn't mean we abandon urgent prayer for our family. If we stop interceding for them, we're in fact saying this is hopeless. We have to be persistent. Trusting the Lord means doing just the opposite. If we truly believe him for their deliverance and salvation, we'll cry as the nobleman did. Please, Jesus, come now. Act quickly before my loved one is lost forever. Only aggressive, fervent brain can combat Satan's destructive aims to ruin our family. Half-hearted prayers won't bring about bring down those strongholds. That we've got to pull these strongholds down. We have to be shaken out of our concerns and get serious about praying. We have to stand near Jesus until his word comes. Somebody prayed for you, and we must pray for other family members' salvation with determination. Let us now join Pastor Tony Brooke in praying for salvation of the families. And as she is praying, I want you to keep in mind your family members and call your family members out as she prays.
Father, we come today in the name of Jesus. Father, we come praising you and thanking you, knowing that your word says you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We come today standing on your word. We come today praying according to your will. We come believing you for family and loved ones today. Father, for salvation and deliverance. We pray, Lord God, yokes destroyed, chains broken, generational curses removed. Father, we're praying, Lord God, demonic activity removed from their life. Every demonic spirit, every spirit of addiction and rebellion, disobedience, oh God, cast out and bound up in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe you, Lord God, that you're loosing your spirit, that you're removing the heart of stone and giving, Lord God, them a heart of flesh that is open and receptive to receive you. Father, that they would come to Christ. Father, we know that he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to you but through him, oh God. So, Father, we pray that they would come to Christ. We pray that you would open up opportunities for others to minister to them. We pray, Lord God, you would give them ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds that understand, oh God. Father, we pray that they be free from the slavery of sin in the name of Jesus, that you would remove the blinders. We know your word says the God of this world has blinded those that don't believe. Father, open up their eyes. Let it be like scales falling from their eyes, that they gain spiritual eyesight, oh God, and begin to seek after you and call on you. Seek your kingdom and your righteousness, oh God, that all other things are added in the name of Jesus. Cause them to come to the point of repentance. Cause them to turn away from sin. Cause them to stop being slaves to sin. Cause them, Lord God, to be slaves unto righteousness, to be, Lord God, vessels and instruments of righteousness in your hand unto you, God. Let their lives bring you glory. Cause them to be submitted to your will, to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto you. Father, in the name of Jesus, to have grateful hearts. Father, cause them to have circumcised heart. Cut out the flesh, oh God. Cut away from the things, Lord God, in their lives that shouldn't be there. Corrupt companions, unequally yoked relationships, corrupt communication, addictions and habits, unforgiveness and bitterness, rage and contention. Father, in the name of Jesus, every spirit of rebellion and disobedience, we cast it out and bind it up in the name of Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit take over. We speak salvation, deliverance, healing, and wholeness, repentance, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that the body of Christ is increased, that you are glorified, that testimonies and praise reports are going forth, that families are being built on your word, standing on firm foundation, worshiping and praising you, doing the work of the ministry, standing together, encouraging one another, oh God, godly marriages, godly, Lord God, relationships, children honoring their parents, parents training up their children in the way they should go, that when they grow, they shall not depart from it. Let your word manifest. Let your word not return to you void. Father, we're praying for salvation for family and loved ones. We believe you that it's already so. We speak the word of life over them, that they shall hunger and thirst after righteousness and be filled, that they are walking in the center of your perfect will, that they're on the narrow path, that they're going through the straight gate, that they're walking, Lord God, in agreement with you, that they're seeking your faith, that, Father, they're going forth in power and authority, that they're submitted, Lord God, and led by your spirit because they are your children. We declare and believe it, oh God, according to your word and your will. Father, we thank you today. Give your angels charge over them. Cause them to begin to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We praise you for their salvation and deliverance in the name of Jesus. We praise you for their wholeness, and Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We praise you for their changed minds. We praise you, Lord God, for their, Lord God, their clean hearts. We praise you, Lord God, for deliverance, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, no more yokes, no more chains. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they are free, that they've been liberated in the name of Jesus, and they're walking in newness of life, abiding in Christ and your word abiding in them. Father, we thank you that it is so in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor for who you are. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you're about to do. In the mighty, matchless, powerful name of Jesus, we pray and we say hallelujah and amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him now. Praise him for your family members that are going to be saved. Praise him. Praise him with that faith that we talked about. Praise God and thank him. Speak it. Speak it into the atmosphere. Let me go back to this message for this last part. When Christ was on the coast of Tyre and Sidon, a woman of Canaan came out and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." That's in Matthew 15 and 22. Satan had moved into this woman's home and possessed her daughter. The word for grievously here comes from a root word meaning depraved. In short, the girl was vile, wicked, being driven by Satan. Now, this was not an evil mother. Even though she was a Gentile, she believed. After all, she addressed Jesus as Lord, Son of David. In effect, she was saying, "You're the Savior, God's Messiah." She believed. At this point, a question arises: how does Satan gain access to the child of a believer? Aha. How does he possess children who live in a godly home? Perhaps you're a Christian parent. You've raised your child in the church and done your best to show him the right way. But now, after years of attending Sunday school and services and hearing anointed sermons and prayer, he has become cold, or she has become cold and indifferent to the things of God. They couldn't care less about serving Jesus. And you wonder, Lord, how could this have happened? As you hear that, you may be breathing a sigh and rethinking, "Thank God that's not my son, my daughter. I've got good kids. I've been careful to raise them in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord. They know the right way. They might not be on fire for Jesus, but at least they're not using drugs and alcohol. At least I don't got a bunch of kids running around here that aren't married and got all this drama in their life." Such parents are right to be thankful, yet they never fear that their child may be lukewarm towards Jesus. According to the Lord himself, being lukewarm is a terrible condition, as being demonically oppressed. When Christ warned, "I will spew you out of my mouth," he wasn't addressing drug addicts. He was speaking to lukewarm believers in his church. Look at Revelations 2-3. You'll see that. Jesus knows that a lukewarm spirit can lull any believer into demonic temptations from hell. Your children might be kind, polite, well-behaved. Mine are. They may shun the wrong crowd, respect their elders, and be morally upright. If they're not wholeheartedly in their love for Jesus, if they're just drifting along spiritually, they're in danger. You see, any child who's raised in a believing home is already a prime target for Satan. The devil goes after those families who are most fervent in their love for Jesus. That's us. The devil goes after our children. But now your child's lukewarmness has made the enemy's job easier. He'll delight over how easy it is to snare your son or daughter into sinful bondage. Even the most devoted Christians, including ministers, can be blind to the trap Satan has laid for their spiritually passive children if they're just behaving and doing what you tell them to do. The enemy is constantly looking to snuff out the small spark of spiritual life that's in them. I urge you, Christian parents, don't let the devil get to your child. Get on your face daily and surround them with intercession. God has given you the power and you the faith to shake them out of their lukewarm state. I pray daily for my three adult children. Church was the center of home life for them. They attended Christian schools, and I guarded them as led by the Holy Spirit from the things of the world. Yet I see compromise in their lives. I'm just being honest. I pray for their spiritual growth, that they not be consumed by the things of the world. I pray for God to put fire under their feet, that they not be blinded, but have a hunger for righteousness in the word. I stand in faith and persistent prayer, binding generational curses, rebellion, lukewarmness, in the name of Jesus. I pray these things for you and your family. I pray for my husband, for his spiritual growth as the priest at home. I pray for your husband. I pray for your wives. I pray for the husband's understanding of the things of his God and his role as leader, as God has designed a structure for the family with the husband as the leader and the wife as the support for that family. I pray for the husband for his strength and his health, that the work of his hands and the work of his knees, on his knees, will bring blessings to the family in this generation and beyond. I pray for each of your families. In Matthew 15, the woman with the vexed daughter persisted in seeking Jesus. Finally, the disciples urged their master, "Lord, send her away. Get rid of her. She won't stop bothering us." Note Jesus' response to the woman's plea. He answered her not a word. Evidently, Christ ignored the whole situation. Why would he do this? We know our Lord has never turned a deaf ear to the cry of any sincere seeker. The fact is, Jesus knew this woman's story would be told to every future generation, and he wanted to reveal the truth to all who would read it. So he tested the tenacity of the woman's faith. When he finally spoke to her, he said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Christ was saying in short, "I came for the salvation of Jews. Why should I waste their gospel on a Gentile?" Now, this statement would have sent most of us on our way, but the woman didn't budge. Her daughter's condition was a matter of life and death, and she wasn't going to give Jesus any rest until he gave her what she needed. I ask you, how often do you give up on prayer? How many times have you grown weary in reason? I sought the Lord, I prayed, and I asked. I just didn't get any results. Well, was it a matter of life and death to you? Did you truly seek the Lord with all your heart, knowing there was no other source? Consider how this woman responded. She didn't reply with a complaint or an accusation. She said, and I love this part, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." It's important for us to understand Jewish believers of that day considered Gentiles to be no higher than dogs, right? Of course, Jesus didn't accept this. He wouldn't cast a racial slur at any child of the Father. But he knew this woman was aware of the Jews' attitude towards Gentiles, and once again, he was testing her. So the mother said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So, Lord, just give me some crumbs." The woman said, "Give me some crumbs." And I'm like, "Lord, I'll take some of those crumbs. Give me some crumbs." What an incredible reply. "If you can't give me everything, give me some crumbs." This determined woman was not going to relent in her pursuit of Jesus. And the Lord commended her for it. Jesus said to her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto you, even thou as unto thee, even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You see, we don't even have to settle for crumbs. But we'll take them. We've been promised all the grace and all the mercy we need for our crisis. God has given us all. And that includes every crisis involved in your family, saved or unsaved. We've been invited to come boldly to Christ's throne with confidence. I urge you to make this prayer that I'm going to share with you for your family. We are going to go to this final prayer, as we are running out of time, and we are warfare prayer for our family with this pastor. Amen.
Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I come before these great people not as Pastor Law, but as a servant of the Most High God, in the name of I Am. And Father God, I come in your word. It says that when the gospel of the kingdom was preached, all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases and everything that caused paralysis and everything that caused us to be out of our mind and everything that tormented us, the word delivered us and it healed us. And Father God, right now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father God, we come to pray for the family. and to lift up the family and to encourage the family. But also, Father God, tonight we come to snatch out the family. And Father God, in the name of Christ Jesus, you said, upon this rock you shall build your church, and not even the gates of hell shall prevail against it. And right now, Father God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, we expand the kingdom with acceleration. And Father God, right now, Father God, we reach down and pass the gates of hell. And right now, Father God, we snatch out every father. We snatch out every mother. We snatch out every child. And Father God, we go 1,000 years back, Father God. And in the name of Jesus the Christ, Father God, we come against every generational curse that has sidelined families, that has divided families, that has tormented families. And right now, God, we come to torment hell. And we come right now, God, to snatch out every family and bring every family on the earth under the lordship of our Lord and Savior. And Father God, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we annihilate every generational curse. We annihilate every generational sickness and disease. We annihilate division. We annihilate divorce. We annihilate manifestations of molestation, of rape, of incest that has gone on too long. Enough already. Enough already. We come tonight to claim your families, God. Rebabasiako, Rebabaya, Reshiako, Rebabayato, Reyao, Shiako, Rebabayati, Rebabosiako. Father God, we come for every marriage right now, God. We come right now that we come against the spirit of fear that has gripped every household. We come against the spirit of paralysis that has kept every family from moving forward in the things of God. Right now, God, I snatch every father out of every crack house, out of every jail. I snatch every father out of his denial of his purpose. And we bring him back into his divine purpose. We snatch our mothers out of the club. We snatch them out of crack houses. We snatch them out of abortion clinics. Come back now. Come back now. Come back now. Rebabashiako. Rebabayase. Rebabayate. Rebabashiako. We come right now for every son, every daughter, right now, God. Right now, that there will no longer be any more screaming and silence in the household. That they will sit at the dinner table. They will converse. They shall eat together. They shall talk together. They shall pray together. And right now, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we reestablish altars of God back into the families. Bring back altars of God back into the family. Bring prayer back into the family. Train up a child in the way it should go. Bring back training to the father. Training to the mother. Bring back obedience. Bring back honor. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days will be longer in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Bring back order in the name of Jesus the Christ. We snatch families out of hell tonight. We snatch them. And we command them to come out now. 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 Rebabashiako. Rebabashiake. Rebabashiako. Rebabashiate. Rebabayate. Rebabashia. We come to do war tonight. We come to do war tonight. We win. We win. We win. Now. 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 Come in, family. Come in, family. Yada yaba, 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 yada yaba We sever every tie, every soul tie. We sever every soul tie, every generational soul tie. We sever them for what mama said, what grandmama said. Every evil word, every negative word spoken against families, they fail tonight. They fail tonight. We curse the strongholds. And we pull them down now. Now. Now release peace in the home. Release favor, healing, restoration, financial increase, employment, unity, love, covenant. Right now, Rabashio, Rebabashioko. Restore worship to the families. Restore church attendance to the families. Restore leadership to the families. Right now, God. Right now, Rabbi Mashiach. Rabbi Mashiach. Holy Ghost. But as for me and my house. But as for me and my house. But as for me and my house. We shall serve the Lord now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We will serve the Lord. Thanks to God, we are running out of time, but I encourage you, let us stop fighting with our family and start fighting for them because they are worth fighting for. Talk to you next week again on Triumphant Tuesday as we continue in prayer for the family. Join us tomorrow as Minister Omikio will call us to our knees for a Throne Thursday. May you be blessed and highly favored on this day, and don't stop fighting. Don't stop praying. Somebody prayed for you, and we need to pray for somebody in our family.
Somebody pray for me.
for joining To Be Restored, a time of devotion and prayer, brought to you by Marlene Carr and the partners of To Be Restored Ministries. Pray with us live every Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. Central Time, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. To join us while we're on live, dial 646-668-8056 or tune in and listen to our podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/be restored. Do you need to build, rebuild, or strengthen your prayer life? Right now, you can access over 1,200 recorded prayers on numerous topics like faith, family, God's love, and forgiveness. Go to toberestored.org to access pre-recorded prayers, where you will find encouragement to pray through any of life's circumstances. Like and follow us on Facebook at To Be Restored Ministries, and follow Marlene on Instagram at MarleneCarr1. If you're interested in contacting Marlene for a speaking engagement or desire information about enrolling in intercessory prayer training, visit toberestored.org or call Total Restoration Church, 815-573-5517. That's 815-573-5517. To Be Restored Ministries is committed to saturating the earth with prayer.